Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. This is Andrew Farmer coming to you from...
It's like a morning zoo.
It really is. Like, I need a donkey.
It's like a morning zoo here, coming at you like in your face like the Joker on speed.
I'm pretty sure that's comics. Just the Joker. That's not the Joker on speed. That's just the Joker.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics.
Identical to the Joker.
Oh, God. This is issue 152. With us tonight, Cole and I are here, but with us tonight, very special guest. Friend of the show. It's been a long time since we had a guest host on the show.
Andrew and Sasquatch in the morning.
You know, I built that up and just let it crush, just crash. Yeah. Just like
it's been out of practice, my friend.
Fukushima'd that thing. With us tonight.
Apologies to our Japanese audience, by the way.
All three of them. All three of them. I'm especially punchy tonight because of this. Co-host of the Midnight Movie Cowboys, regular appearer on a various sundry of Jedi Cole shows, including the live ones, and somebody I haven't talked to in like 4 months, and that's on me because I'm a dick. Hunter Deucing is here with us tonight. Hunter, say hi.
Hey, everybody.
There he is. God, how have you been, man?
I've been pretty good. Been busy.
Yeah.
Been busy, as I imagine you have been.
Yes.
Talk to him about this.
No, talk to everybody about it. We're all busy. We're all busy people. And we're going to get busy tonight.
Yeah.
I'm a professional. We're going to get busy tonight talking about the sweet, sultry sounds of comic books.
Here on Hey Kids Comics in the morning.
On the quiet fire.
That's right.
No, Cole and I have been bandying about this idea.
Five great, exciting comic books in a row with no commercials.
With no commercials. We've been talking about doing an episode on music for a long time, and no one better to join us tonight than Hunter. My musical guru, as it were, my man on the mountain. For music,
I hope y'all don't get any letters about gaping holes in my
stop there. I really hope we don't
like some of those letters.
I don't want to get any letters about Hunter's gaping hole.
I know. I knew that. I knew the moment that came out of my mouth. I was like, "Dang it! I'm just handing Farmer the football."
I think you should stop now, Hunter.
Right. Way to move the chains on this thing, Hunter. I appreciate that. So, Cole, do you have a snazzy title for this thing?
This is Sing a Song of Comics.
That's good. That's good.
I like it.
I like so yeah, like it always comes up in these shows, like because of the non sequitous nature of what we do. Just music in comics, music groups in comics. There've been quite a few, and another thing we're going to touch on later. But you know, I'd like to open the floor first to Hunter and see if he has any insight into this topic. As far as like the overview of it, like how do you see music and comics pairing together, like as a formula? Is it a formulaic thing or is it more organic? How do you view this?
I mean, they have a history. I mean, because I was thinking, when I think of music and comics being married, I always think of Kiss, that first Kiss comic book.
Oh, yes!
That's exactly what I was thinking of right this moment. I was actually Googling Kiss comic.
Yeah, that first one that supposedly they did some of the print run with Ace, Peter, Gene, and Paul's blood, you know?
Yes!
You know?
I don't think that's... I don't think that's supposed.
No, it's... it's actually true.
Yeah, they did it. Those crazy bastards did it.
Yeah, well, actually, they didn't tell them.
They didn't tell them.
They just came in and said it was compulsory insurance.
Yeah.
And then they just squirted it into the ink.
Oh, they
six... Because it is far easier to get forgiveness than permission from Kiss.
What was that movie, that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, The Sixth Man?
Is that what? Sixth Day.
Sixth Day, yeah, that's what it was. It was, they sixth date him.
Yeah.
It turns out they would have given their permission, but they it was kind of hip that they...
I think Gene was pretty free with his bodily fluids, if you know what I mean.
Right.
He would actually sign autographs in his blood or other people's.
Right.
He carried basically blood transfer bags everywhere.
Just all of them.
Transfusions.
Right.
But I know Kiss have had a ton of comics about them, and like, and likewise, weren't the Archies basically based on the Archies from Archie comics? I don't really know the history there. But
that's a good question. I don't know if it was either that or they were all named Archie.
Just everyone was named Archie.
I've seen videos of... one day and realized they were all named Archie.
Okay, I just looked it up. This is just something I just pulled out, because when you talked about music and comics, for some reason I thought of the Archies being a comic book band. And it says the Archies was a American fictional garage band founded by Archie Andrews, Reggie Mantle, and Jughead Jones.
I would have gone.
The animated TV show, The Archie Show, which I didn't know was a thing. So
I remember. I'm one of like three people who remember the Archie animated show, and it was actually invoked on an episode of Family Guy, which I love Family Guy because it is my mind as a cartoon.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it is pulling out references from 100 sources on a daily basis.
I would go see Archie's Garage Band. Like I would go see Archie's Garage Band now, if it existed. Like, that would be like a basement show that I would go see. Even though now, I think, what would Archie's music be now?
Well, it's not anything, because he was murdered, remember?
It would be sort of a dirge.
It's like a John Lennon, you know? He was,
Reggie and Jughead also had a falling out and went solo.
Well, yeah. Reggie went and started the Foo Fighters. And yeah, Nirvana jokes. They never get old. No, but like, what do they call it? What is that music called, Hunter? Shoegazers. Yeah, that's what I imagined that it would be. It would just be like ambient weird noise. Like, it would be awful. It would be awful. But yeah, music and comics have gone fairly, like, even characters. Like, if you look at Marvel and DC, which we often do. By the way, I need to make this clear up front, which I do every time I'm on a show with Hunter about comic books. Hunter will go on record and be like, I'm not a comic fan. I'm not. And then I go to his house, and every like poignant, every poignant story arc of linear fiction is presented right there as you walk in the door. I don't know why he's becoming Stallone in my brain. I don't like it.
Hey, it's because you got Judge Dredd on the brain.
Oh man, Judge Dredd.
And one of the greatest songs ever about a comic book character, I think I've brought it up on the show before when we did the Judge Dredd episode.
It still bears repeating.
It's "I Am the Law" by Anthrax.
Nice.
The chorus, "Truth and justice are what he's fighting for. Judge Dredd's the man. He is the law." And then they yell, "Drock it," when they do the breakdown where you're supposed to mosh, you know?
Yeah.
But like, Judge Dredd has been like one of the mascots of Anthrax. If you go to an Anthrax show, there'll be a t-shirt with Judge Dredd on it, or Judge Death, maybe, depending on what t-shirts they have in print at the time. But it's because Scott Ian read those comics when he went on tour with Anthrax to the UK, and he discovered the Judge Dredd comics and became a huge fan.
Nice.
Can I get out in front of this right now?
Yeah.
As it pertains to Superman and music, could you stop?
I know.
Like, really? Everyone, could you just stop it?
Well, when I was looking up, because I wanted to see if I was forgetting anything, and whenever you look up songs about comic book movies or whatever, there's a million references, ones about Superman, but it's usually like, "I'm not Superman," or...
Yeah, exactly!
Yeah.
I want to be your Superman. You know, it's like that. It's not really about Superman. You know?
Yeah, well, it's more like, it's the cultural awareness thereof. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, if I go crazy now, would you still...
Thank you.
It's not saying that I'm Clark Kent, a.k.a. Kal-El of the doomed planet Krypton.
That's the song I want to hear, and I want to hear it by Ice-T.
Yeah.
But it's more that, you know, I wasn't meant to ride with the clouds between my knees.
You really know that song, man.
The thing is, in all fairness,
what's your Spotify playlist like?
Before we recorded the show, I filled my pockets with kryptonite.
I was about to reference that.
No, like I can't, guys, I can't do this all on my own. I'm no Superman. See, that's three.
Superman and Green Lantern, they got nothing on me.
That's four. Can we go further than this? Don't tug on Superman's cape. That's five.
Yeah, there you go.
I am Superman.
Yeah, I can do anything. Yeah, that's six. That's six without research. Yeah, that is just six.
You know?
Stop it. There are so many superheroes out there. Stop it. Like, is there any good Batman songs?
I think, but the problem with Batman is that, like, when most people do a Batman song, they just cover Batman theme.
Right. You know? Like Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah, like, the Ramones did the Spider-Man theme. Voivod, I know, did the Canadian thrash metal band did a cover of the Batman theme.
And you wonder why, again, you wonder why I want Hunter on this show. Voivod did Voivod. That, by the way.
When Leon Redbone did a cover of the Batman theme.
Did he? Or, please tell me you're not making that up.
It's great. I love that. It's like on his third album or something.
But why aren't there more? Okay, so let's go here. Why aren't there more songs about superheroes now?
I mean, there are quite, there's some obscure ones out there. One that is that gobsmacks me is that Monster Magnet, the
yes.
amazing heavy rock band. They have a song about Ego, the Living Planet from Thor.
What?
Oh my God.
What?
Talk about going obscure.
I know.
Isn't that the one where he soul kisses Mogo?
Yeah, I think so. Well, my favorite thing about Ego, the Living Planet, is that the only way to get to him apparently is through Quasar's closet. That was always my favorite thing about Ego, the Living Planet, was that Quasar had to go through his closet in his apartment in New York to get to him. Like, what the shit is this? But like,
it's sort of like this Narnia of the
space Narnia. Narnia. Yeah, it is. It's like an H.P. Lovecraftian weird. And there's a tree planet with a mustache and a beard that you talk to. Shut up!
Like all these moons, like some sort of little accent or accessories.
So why aren't there, like, we're living in an age, and I'm not going to call it what Cole hates it, but we're living in an age where the biggest movies out there, period, are movies about superheroes. Right. Everything on TV, like, I can literally watch, all I could watch is superhero shows. And I would have no time.
You could watch a superhero show a day, even if they all came on the same right. day, you could, like, just sort of, TiVo them or what have you. Mm-hmm. And you could literally just every day of the week, you could have a brand new episode of a superhero show for months.
Right. And that's all you watch. So why aren't there more pop, Ariana Grande doing songs about superheroes. I mean?
Part of it is, if you look at the highly litigious nature of Marvel from about 1979 to 6 weeks ago. especially there was a period where Marvel was suing. They were like neck and neck. I think it was a photo finish. They narrowly edged out Disney on lawsuits, and then Disney decided that wouldn't stand, so they bought them and retroactively became the king of lawsuits. But Superman gets referenced like crazy, but you don't see anybody talking about how Thor's got nothing on me or
right.
Would you still call me Captain America?
Right.
Well, I know that Public Enemy referenced Thor quite a bit, and
which is odd.
In the I think it's Raise the Roof.
Can we discuss how odd that is?
But the thing is, they could technically, and this is their out, is they could technically be referencing the ancient gods of
right. That's free license at that point.
Yeah,
like,
I mean that. We're just talking about like gods above the timberline.
But they also referenced, I think, Namor, the Submariner.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Public Enemy referenced Namor, like the Submariner,
yeah,
in a song. Yeah. How weird is this?
And this was early. This was early Public Enemy.
Because I was thinking, like, if anybody was going to reference, say, like Captain America, you expect Bruce Springsteen by now.
Right.
Story. Captain America.
Like, if somebody was going to, yeah, if somebody was going to come out and
Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Something. Like that. Bruce Springsteen would be the perfect person to do a Captain America song.
But, and also, another
country star gets a hold of it.
Right. Or Lee Greenwood shoves it up his ass and makes something out of it.
But speaking of hip hop, Ghostface Killah famously took on the alter ego Tony Starks on the album Iron Man.
Well,
first solo record.
I will say this: the hip hop culture has strongly embraced comic books across
the
board.
They've always been all about it.
Yeah,
like I think Snoop Dogg has a song called Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
There's a few. I think. I think. What's his name? The guy who pees on people. Kelly.
Oh yeah.
Gotham City.
He does. Yeah.
Well, there's also like, was it Yellow Namor?
Yeah.
I'll let that one just sort of. We'll let it mellow.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of songs. I heard today Seal's Kiss from a Rose and the best song ever to come out of a comic book movie ever.
Well, can we just talk for a second about that initial run of Burton the Schumacher Batman movies? You had Prince's Bat Dance, all right?
No. There nothing that's apocryphal. Nothing touches that though. Like, you can't. That has been set on a throne.
Yeah, that may not ever have actually happened.
Right, and no one shall ever dethrone that song from a comic book movie ever.
And the music video too. Like, I can't believe it exists. It's so bizarre, you know. But and there's I think didn't Sushi and the Banshees have a song in Batman Returns?
Yes, they did.
And of course, you have the U2 song "Hold Me, Kiss Me,"
"Kill Me, Thrill Me,"
"Kill Me, Thrill Me," whatever the fuck, horrible. And then there was that Smashing Pumpkins song from Batman and Robin.
Right.
That was actually a pretty good tune.
Well, I mean, they did a good job, right? Like, I felt like Guardians of the Galaxy. I felt somewhere. Prince was just looking at them, shaking their heads, like, "Come on, guys! Like you're trying. I get it, but you're not going to dethrone me for soundtracks to comic book movies. It's just not going to happen."
And plus, Prince is like, "I actually wrote those songs for the movie."
Yeah, right. In fact, I remember reading an article about him like being shown some of the final cut. And the quote was that I can only read in a Prince-like voice.
Please do.
Because it just sort of pops in your head that way. Like, I hear the music in these scenes.
Right. Yeah, and I feel like he did
read
that.
It as, I can't even say it out loud. I hear the music in these scenes.
I hear the music in these scenes. But the thing about Prince is, I imagine that happened. Like, I imagine that the movie was released with no score. And then Prince sat down and watched it like John Williams style and thing.
What they did was just put it in the theater, and it was like John Hammond in Jurassic Park. Like, oh, this isn't the final score; it hasn't been written yet. And you know, they just park Prince in there, and then the whole thing is just sort of happening. And meanwhile, like Johnny Mnemonic style, they're like pulling it right out of his head into recording studio.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Johnny Mnemonic had some stuff going on.
Huh?
I'm pretty sure Johnny Mnemonic had some stuff going on, because who was in that movie? Somebody. Well, you know, Ice-T was in Tank Girl.
Yeah.
So there's that. I don't know. Literally, there's that. I don't know what that means. But back to comics. If you look at, there was a period of time where, and it was mostly firmly entrenched in the late 70s, early 80s, that music, you know, was just fully infused into comics.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, that was you have a valid point there. That was a period where music began to, you had that sort of synergy where, like, all of a sudden everybody wanted to be part of these things. But you go back far enough, I just stumbled on this. This was in the 50s. Pat Boone was serenading Lois Lane on the cover of Superman's Girlfriend. Let me point that out, Pat.
That Superman's son of a bitch.
Girlfriend. Is he on the cover? It's "Come Sing a Song of Superman," and I kid you not, I did not know about this before I hit upon the title for this episode. This
come
issue.
Come sing a song of Superman.
But like,
come sing a song. Of Superman.
But like,
and
in the late 70s,
the thing came with one of those weird plastic records,
right?
Yeah, cool.
That would be like the floppy ones.
Yeah.
The late 70s, early 80s, you had Vibe on the DC side.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Vibe. And then on the Marvel side, more famously, Dazzler. My favorite, Dazzler. Just fantastic. Just perfect.
Just the name, Dazzler.
Dazzler with the weird face paint and constantly in roller skates.
Yep.
Well, not only roller skates, but disco mirror roller skates.
Basically Heather Grahaming it up all over that place. Just...
Oh my God. Heather Graham would have been the perfect Dazzler.
Still would be. I will go on record. Still would be the perfect Dazzler.
Yes.
But recently, how long ago was it that Dazzler music video was made, that somebody made that, somebody made a Dazzler music video that was amazing?
I don't know. I never saw that.
Oh, well, you're going to. It was Allison Blair made it. Allison Blair made a Dazzler music video.
Oh my!
Yeah, and it's. I might have to use it for the intro to the show because it's pretty amazing. The site, it's called Sight of the Sound, which, if you don't know what her power was now, Cole, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't she have the power to like take sound and turn it into like laser beams?
Yeah, I think she would like turn sound into light energy and systems in some sort of weird physics alchemy.
Right, in comic book, she was a mutant, so all bets are off.
It's,
like, she could do whatever.
She was sitting around goofing around with music and lights one day and accidentally discovered it in some sort of weird, you know, eureka a bathtub moment. It was
here. Okay, so she was originally developed as a cross promotional multimedia creation between Casablanca Records and Marvel Comics.
Oh my God! So she was like almost, she was nearly Nightcat.
Does Hunter know? Did you know about Nightcat, Hunter?
No.
Oh, Cole, educate the man.
But you did a good job of pretending.
You
had
Dick.
Me. Fool there, sir.
So why don't you...
I was just like, I don't know what we're talking about.
educate the man.
When did you turn into Bobby Blakey, number one?
Yeah, I know.
Then Bobby is a master of actually...
Until you get to it, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking
master
about.
Of pretense. It's just beautiful to see the man work. But no, Nightcat was a creation of... It was at that period where everybody had a spokesmodel for their comics. That was a thing. You'd like send some poor struggling model / actress type out to the throw them to the wolves at the convention scene before cosplay is not consent was even
cosplay is not consent.
Oh my God. They you know,
trigger alert.
I'm triggered. Guys, I have to go to my safe space. I'll be back.
We're going to get so many not letters.
Marvel decided that they want to field this character, you know, with a real-world connection. So they sort of engineered Nightcat. And needless to say, it did not... You know, her retro giant hair and her Psylocke thigh exposing leotard just wasn't happening for the world.
It was bad. And, it was bad.
Faded into obscurity with her stick.
So, and this was a Casablanca Records creation.
Apparently, even before Nightcat, apparently.
Dazzler was, of all people, yeah. Like, that amazes me, is that the attempt, before it was dropped and Marvel took, you know, sole ownership of it, it was a cross promotional thing with Casablanca Records.
So it has sort of a Monkees vibe.
Well, and I'm looking at Dazzler's makeup. I hadn't thought of it, but it does very look very Gene Simmons-ish.
It does.
Sort of eye flares out. So I could see, like, because Kiss's look is very influenced by comics and other stuff, too. But, you know, I could see them going, okay, well, let's market this sort of comic book-looking pop singer, you know, like, to a different crowd. Maybe we can make that work.
Oh, and let me... You did bring something to mind there just now, Hunter, talking about Kiss's influence, taking influences from comics, among other sources. There is a very obscure comic book connection to one of the most famous and popular musical icons in America, Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah.
Reportedly loved Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam.
Yep. Really?
Yes,
and
he did.
And that little cape on his cat suit.
No!
Is influenced by Captain Marvel.
This.
He wanted something little like the Captain.
You know what?
Anyway, I get a little lightning when I come out on stage. You know, Shazam.
But he did have, the TCB lightning bolt. Like, holy shit.
And the thing is, that comes full circle. And this is going to, like, make people freak out if they didn't know this already. When designing the future of the DC Universe for Kingdom Come.
No.
With the full knowledge of this.
No.
Captain Marvel Jr. is known, I don't think it's ever mentioned in the comics, but it was in the trading cards they revealed, is King Marvel.
Really?
That's why if you look at his costume, it's like the whole thing has gone full circle. Is Captain Marvel influences Elvis, who in turn influences King Marvel.
Wow. So I'm gonna ask this now. We've touched on Kingdom Come. So this is another thing I wanted to do, because I always ask myself this question if I'm reading a comic that I'm really into, that I'm deep into, is what is the perfect, even if it's just an artist, like, what is the perfect music to listen to this story arc, or this six issue maxi, or this, you know, this collected edition? What would be the best music to listen to?
Well, I for Kingdom Come, I don't know, because I've never read it, sadly.
Well, hold on, it's on your bookshelf. Why don't you go get it? Asked.
No, it's not.
So
God,
Cole,
bless garage sales. You can look like you're a comic aficionado without ever cracking the covers.
So what do you think? Like if, when you're reading Kingdom Come, or who do you think musically would be like the best pairing for that?
That's a curious question, because I never really thought to, you know, put on some tunes while I was perusing these books, but now I'm going to feel like, oh, I've missed something all these years.
Right, then that's the thing. Like, I want full immersion. So, for me, I think Kingdom Come would probably lend itself really well to, like, because of the subject matter, right?
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, it's really easy to go hokey and be like REM because it has, like, end of the world, you know, but
it's
there,
it's on the nose.
It's on the nose, right. It's way too upfront. But I think, and I'm saving the one I really want to use for another story arc, but, but for me, I really think that Kingdom Come would serve itself very well to, like, to, like, maybe some Cat Stevens. Like maybe,
yeah,
maybe some Cat Stevens, maybe some
that would sort well with the
right. Like I think
it would be like if you're going to read Marvels,
yeah,
because it takes place over. So I would recommend, say, anything K-Tel's Hit Machine.
Right, right, right.
Any sort of compilation albums you may have from the '70s. with a scrolling list of all the artists and the one that's playing, you know, highlighted as they show like couples dancing or people by the swimming pool on the commercial.
So Hunter, what about
the record vac?
Right. What about you, Hunter? Like, is there of the ones that you've read, and I know you've read quite a few.
I'm looking at my shelf from over here, and I see my Judge Dredd comics. I think, you know, Perturbator would be good for those.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like Perturbator or anything to narrow the field for people that might not know who Perturbator is, and if you don't, you really should.
Yeah.
Would be anything, any of John Carpenter's music.
Any John Carpenter music or John Carpenter worship music. You know,
right.
like a Carpenter Brute is another really good one. But like that, like I'm looking and I also see like the first volume of Akira, and that's another one that would work well with that type of music, that synthy side of John Carpenter / Vangelis type music.
Right.
I was about to say Vangelis would be a good mix there with.
Just put Escape from New York on your TV and then turn your chair around.
Right. Yeah, and immerse yourself in that moment.
Right.
Yes. I'm looking and I see I see Ghost World by Daniel Clowes. And I think Amy Mann actually wrote a song about Ghost World.
I think she did, and I think that's a really good choice for.
And I think, like, I was thinking Amy Mann would be good for that, or somebody along those lines. Amy Levere is another one that comes to mind that might be good. Female singer songwriter type music.
Okay, I'm going to put out a challenge right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For each of us, and for anyone in the audience who wants to participate, please send your list to jcumail@yahoo.com. Pick a trade paperback, a collection, a story arc, what have you. Pair it with your mixtape.
Ah, yeah.
Wow.
So what would your mixtape be? Your mix MP3.
See, I've got a weird one. And I've actually done this one, and it was sort of the reason that I wanted to do this was, so Dark Knight Returns. Have all of us read Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller's magnum Batman opus, Dark Knight Returns. Cole, I don't know if this is gonna mean anything to you, but I know it will to Hunter. Pairs very well with Tom Waits' Mule Variations.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, for Frank Miller's stuff, it's got to be something with that Tom Waits sound. I wasn't thinking Tom Waits specifically, but I was trying to think of what would I put with Sin City or Dark Knight Returns, and I was thinking something smoky, something bar-sounding, and when you said Tom Waits, that clicked.
Well, it's
right
just
there.
Like that. There's a lot of scenes of old Batman in the Batcave, you know, and it's like, the sad old clown takes his alarm clocks and puts them in the suitcase. You know, and it's just like, it works really well together. Like,
wow.
I think, for Sin City, Rain Dogs would be a good one. Like songs like Jockey Full of Bourbon and stuff like that. You know?
Right. Like a Black Leather Motorcycle Club. Like.
Yeah, or for the harder stuff, you could get, like, Fear or something like that. Because, you know, let's face it, Sin City's pretty brutal and violent.
Right.
It has some of the more, like, darker, like, aggressive, but it's also very tongue-in-cheek
music.
Like, it's sort of funny. Like, kind of like Frank Miller's stuff is just so over the top with Sin City, you know?
Right. And I was thinking for, like, Preacher, like, because I really liked Preacher, and I'm really glad it's getting a TV show, but, like, I would put dimes on the fact that if you would sit down and read a collected edition of Preacher while listening to the Super Suckers, you would be happy. Like, you would be a happy person. So I'm gonna explore that in a little bit at some point.
I was thinking like sort of like weird outlaw country for Preacher.
Exactly. Yeah, like Hank III, like Hank Williams III would be good for that.
Hank III, Erie Vaughn, even some old stuff like Hank I, Hank Williams.
Yeah,
maybe some Waylon. but yeah.
So yeah, I think get the mixtape. We need to explore.
Okay, I'm with it. I like the mixtape idea.
Need to publish the lists of people's comic book mixtape.
I can't remember the comic
what
that
would be
did
the
that.
Soundtrack of some of your favorite books.
What about the Killing Joke? I was thinking like 80s goth type stuff. I don't know, like. not like Sisters of Mercy, but earlier stuff that's less over the top. Like, I don't know.
I think Killing Joke. I think The Cult.
I was going to say like early
Ian,
cult.
Ian like, asked like, me like The Cult. Like yeah.
Like I'm talking like when they were called Death Cult or like Dreamtime type stuff. Like, because that's the sort of weirder stuff, you know?
Right. So Cole, what about I'm asking it? Okay.
All right.
What about Watchmen?
You know, that's a tough one. The problem is I am imbued with the
movie
ability. The
movie kind of like already has this.
Yeah, sure. Zack Snyder has already imposed his soundtrack on you.
Yes, there's the word imposed.
But that said, I'm also imbued with the inability of knowing who the hell did anything that I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I could probably accurately identify three artists, and two of them were Phil Collins. You know?
I would – no, wait. Just you wait a damn second, because I think a Phil Collins-based soundtrack for Watchmen might be the best idea you've ever had.
Might actually work, you know, in a bit of serendipity there. The more I think about it, yeah.
There were comics. Go ahead.
You could even find some way to squeeze in It's No Fun to Be an Illegal Alien.
Yes. Yes.
There were comics, and I can't remember what they were, that on the first page would have a suggested track listing.
You know what? I remember seeing that somewhere.
And I don't remember what it was.
Also, I think you could probably put together a good mix of Beatles. Like, you know, go to Pandora and just do like a Beatles channel. And you would probably just, by accident, it would be like, you know, Monkeys and Typewriters kind of thing. You could literally stumble on an ideal
right
soundtrack as you go through the
first
tome.
I wish I could remember what comics it was were that had those track listings.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I've seen that though.
I want to say it was like Matt Fraction-esque. You know, at the beginning, it was like, you should listen to these songs while reading this comic.
Well, so, but can we agree, though, if you read the heavy metal comics, you should listen to the heavy metal soundtrack, right?
Well, yeah, over and over again.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you read anything that was compiled from heavy metal, like
you said. You have to listen to that Ouch soundtrack with Sammy Hagar and Black Sabbath.
Even if you find a collection of, like, Texarkana or... what was that weird French one with all the Egyptian deities?
Oh God, I care. I know what you're talking about.
Or the Mercenary. You can actually get collections of the Mercenary.
And then there's the French heavy metal, Metal Hurlant.
Metal Hurlant. Yep. Which they made a TV show for Sci-Fi out of for one season. So I want us to be in agreement with this. I want it real bad. That everybody should go out and get a collected edition, like the Marvel Essentials edition of Rom the Space Knight.
I would pair that with Sting.
Okay, see, I was going to go Ronnie James Dio, but you took it in a different direction.
I think I can see Sting mixing very well if you throw in some tracks from the Police.
Some tracks.
Yeah.
Okay, with Rom the Space Knight. Sting with, you know what? I see it. I see it working.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to think about it a second, but by the time you're getting to the point where he's teaming up with everybody under the sun, including my personal favorite, Shang-Chi Master Kung Fu, which I will point out right now, is being released in a series of Master of Kung Fu omnibus.
Nice.
God bless you, Marvel.
Okay, so what about those comics?
Oh, wow.
What about your Kung Fu?
Just sort of like having this endless track of... Kung Fu fighting, but...
Well, Kung Fu, it's got to be hip-hop, right?
You would think, yeah, but I also really want just a John Singleton movie soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know, a Van Peebles-esque, you know...
Yeah, I would almost favor instrumentals, because anything lyrical would kind of get in the way of
everything. And that's one reason I chose Perturbator for some of that stuff, is that it's... like, there's very few songs with singing on them. And
what
you
really need to do is get Martin Scorsese to come in and advise. Because that man knows how to set a scene.
Here's what Scorsese would do. All right, let's put Gimme Shelter here.
Yeah.
And we're going to put Gimme Shelter here. For this scene, I really hear Gimme Shelter.
Right.
Now I'm gonna... Maybe Brown Sugar? I don't know.
Can somebody go... And then there's the Tarantino method, which is, can somebody go find me a 45 of Green Onions, an original 45 of Green Onions, and play me the B-side? That's what I want. What's on it? I don't know. Just play it.
What I want you to do is go find an obscure band that Pete Townshend nearly joined, but didn't.
Or you
has
can
catchy
take,
guitar hooks.
Right.
As I did earlier, you could take the Guardians of the Galaxy approach. K-Tel's Hit Machine.
K-Tel's Hit Machine.
I mean, that's essentially what the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack is.
Right. But, okay, so if you had to...
circumstances, consult the Coen brothers.
If you had to pair the song, If You're Going to San Francisco, with a comic book, what would it be?
Well, you know, the obvious... The one that everybody's thinking immediately is like Alpha Flight, you know, anything with North Star Solo Tales or anything.
God, really? We're going to take the gay angle on that one? All right.
that's what people are thinking. I'm not myself. I would, if you're going to San Francisco, I would Defenders.
You know what? You know what? You're right. You're absolutely correct. I also would like an entire soundtrack for Defenders. Defenders starring the Hulk, Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange, The Beast, Valkyrie, Carly Simon.
Gargoyle.
I'm going Carly Simon all the way with that.
Yeah, you could do that.
And just the song The River over and over again for the most depressing thing in the world that you could possibly ever have. Oh, my God. Damn it. I really want to land on the perfect pairing. Like, I really want to take a comic book, a beloved comic book, and pair it with the perfect music.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that is. And that's the journey we're on tonight. I think that's our hero's journey tonight.
Yes.
So, what's another...
Is there anything where you have basically, you could like take a single album... and it somehow conveys an overarching narrative.
Well, what you do is...
Do you like Journey albums? Because, I mean, at least from the covers, you get the impression there's this implicit story there.
If it's something kind of trashy you're reading, like, I say if you're reading something from the 70s or something, you know, bust out, and it's kind of, like, fun and upbeat, The Dictators, The Ramones... You know,
right.
If you look at the Dictators album covers, they're very comic book influenced in terms of their logo. And Handsome Dick Manitoba would say stuff like "Dictators Assemble Live" and stuff.
Nice.
But if you're reading anything Wolverine, you got to get out Entombed's Wolverine.
Oh,
foods.
Damn it!
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I want to say right here, we need to have a contest for this show sometime. I actually have a copy, Wolverine cover copy, unopened,
of
the Wolverine Blues CD.
Can you just... Do you have it?
Taylor Incentive. Yes, I do, actually.
In your hand?
I'm afraid I did not plan ahead. It is out in the garage.
Okay.
But I came across it not too long ago, rather ironically. So I know that I still have this thing like 15, 18 years later.
My gosh.
And the thing about it is it showed that the cover is a Steve Bassitti Wolverine image.
Yeah.
Because... Marvel was still in that sort of, and I think they may still be to this day, that if you ever drew anything for them, they would use it incessantly. Because they already paid for it.
Right.
It's ours now. We'll just sell it to every drink cup manufacturer. And
yes.
You know, you name a t-shirt, whatever we, you know, wherever we can milk that cow. So the commissioned Wolverine edition of Wolverine Blues has this close-up image of a very Steve Bassitti Wolverine and that sort of, I don't know, it's like that weird sort of watercolor, oil paint, pastel, mm-hmm. tempera, like all thrown together into some strange melange art style of his. And then real tiny, like picture in picture, is the original cover.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because the Wolverine Blues album by Entombed was not... The song Wolverine Blues is not about Wolverine. It's about a James Ellroy book.
Right.
And what happened was, for a minute there in the mid-90s, death metal started getting... death metal bands... This is in 93 this album came out. Death metal bands started getting signed to major labels. This happened very briefly.
That's so metal.
So, like, Earache, who was this British label, they had bands like Napalm Death, Cathedral, but they had Entombed on their roster, and they signed with Columbia. So Entombed's Wolverine Blues was going to come out on Columbia Records, and they made a deal with Marvel. They did not consult the band about this. Just went to Marvel and said, this was just like an idea a record executive had. He said, what if we called Marvel?
They kind of John Cougared it.
Yeah, they did. They just went, it was just some record executive was trying to think of an angle to market the record. He went, I know, I'll call Marvel and see if they want to do a cross promotion. And this executive said he was very surprised that Marvel happily agreed to it. And so then the band said it was like being run over by a truck. They said they were like, wait, what? they said our album came out, and there was this version of it that had Wolverine on the cover.
And everything had been edited, by the way. Like, the entire album had, like, there was no... This is a Pantera-level metal band that the songs were completely cut out of because they made a deal with Marvel.
Right. Like, and this was Entombed... because Entombed was a straight-up death metal band. And with this album, they sort of went more of a death and roll style, which is kind of like, if you think, obviously I'm going kind of obscure here, but modern versions of death and roll would be like Kveller Tak. Carcass's Swan Song is a famous death and roll record. But it has a groovier sound, like you said, Pantera.
Yeah.
But Pantera's got a little more of the... It's
got bite.
Pantera's groovy as it gets, you know, in terms of its guitar riffs. But yeah, so Entombed's Wolverine Blues has that connection, but it's not actually, if you don't buy it thinking you're getting a concept album about Wolverine.
But you got to understand, that's the perfect comic book album then.
Yeah.
Because that's totally a comic book thing to do. Would be like, hey, we're putting this on SpaghettiOs, and we're putting this on diapers. Let's put it on an Entombed album while we're at it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, literally, if you go to Marvel, especially at that period in history, it was literally, you had me at Wolverine.
Right, right.
I mean, that's all. It's like, that's all you had to say.
Michael Jackson was on the other line making, writing numbers on paper and sliding across the table at that point. Yeah. So,
and the other side of this coin is when Iced Earth did an entire concept record about Spawn.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I think it's called the Ark Saga. I think it was like...
In the meantime, I was sort of channeling old albums that and 8-tracks that my older brother had. And I think I found what I would listen to while reading Watchmen.
Okay.
And that is Elton John's Captain Fantastic.
Oh! That's damn near perfect!
Is it not?
That's damn near perfect, Cole!
Can you imagine, like, just hitting that crucial moment in the story when Babylon comes on?
Yes! That's great! So, here's my challenge to you, Cole.
All right.
I need, and I'm asking you because you're going to be able to reach back further and jog my memory with this, but I need the perfect story arc to read to Ziggy Stardust and Spiders from Mars.
Oh, wow. Yes, what story in comic history would lend itself well to that?
There's another very comic book influenced record.
Very comic book influenced.
And therein you would need the ideal.
Yeah. Like, I was like, Legion is no, Legion's not going to work.
Starenko's run of
Oh yes, good God, yes.
Shit, Starenko.
Or you could, oddly enough, what was the one that just crossed my mind that might actually work? Because you know, you're talking about Legion of Superheroes, Great Darkness Saga, to a certain extent, but so much of that is tied too heavily into, you know, a lot of backstory. I think it's one of the few early that of its own period that ever got collected. So, you know, you're really kind of lost if you go into that without any foreknowledge,
right?
But there was something that crossed my mind before Starenko got all of a sudden. I'm just flashing back to his keynote address at the Harvey Awards about 20 years ago.
Listen, Starenko is fantastic. Starenko deserves his own concept album.
I think
Howard the Duck, I think, would.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Didn't Thomas Dolby do the music for the Howard the Duck film?
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I think you could, like, listen to Bowie and read Howard the Duck and just have this sort of, like, didn't come out of it with this little mini freak out.
Nice. See, I just flashed
it's
to...
It's sort of like this altered states kind of thing, you know, without the drugs.
Do you remember that, and I don't know if Hunter's going to go here with me, but the Starjammers saga?
Oh, wow.
I don't know that one.
When Gene and Scott discovered their parents were space pirates...
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Star Jammers. I was thinking of the Star Slammers.
No, I'm talking Star Jammers. Like, they had giant spaceships that were like pirate ships, and they all were like, there was the Corsair, who was like the...
It was their dad was had taken on the mantle of Corsair.
Yeah, like, and, swords and shit.
Chaod.
Chaod, yeah, the giant frogman.
Raza, the cyborg, and with the traditional half.
But that, if I could find that... Just yes. That collected, and then listen to...
Well, in fact, that actually led into... That was with late Dave Cockrum was the artist. And that would lead into The Brood.
Yes.
You would be, like, right on point.
But I was thinking for that story arc, I want to listen to Boston. I want to listen to Boston for that story arc.
Interesting.
Like, I think that is... That is where it's at for that story arc. Oh.
So what would you pair with that, the Captain America on Super Coke?
Oh, the Streets of Ice?
Like the Miami Vice mixtape?
I would go straight early,
like Smuggler's Blues or
early to mid 90s angry hip hop. Out like just straight up, like, angry hip-hop. Like Ice-T at his angriest. Like, Body Count Ice-T where I would go with that.
So, like, Cop Killer stuff. Like
yeah,
that.
Like, that stuff. Because the whole thing is just Captain America, like, beating up punks, getting high on meth. Like, that's, yes. And Wolf Mother for the Captain America... Cap Wolf saga, like that's where I'm at for that.
All right.
So does anybody? We're coming up on it.
Yeah, I wanted to point. I kind of stumbled on some unique occurrences of real musicians, bands, and such that made it into comics.
Okay.
Talked about Pat Boone earlier. Apparently, there was an Eminem meets the Punisher.
Yes, there was, and it was actually very well received too. That comic,
and this was also the point where you know everybody knows that Nick Fury in the Ultimates was modeled on Samuel L. Jackson. So with zero irony, like negative, Samuel L. Jackson is cast as Nick Fury in the cinematic universe, but. The look and feel of the character in Wanted, the lead, the protagonist.
Oh yeah,
Wanted.
It was
just so Eminem.
Yeah, it was.
That
I think
everyone was assuming Eminem would play the character in the film.
And but no, but
were
no.
Subsequently disappointed when
you got Mr. Tumnus.
Yeah, they were already disappointed by the ending to Wanted.
Right
after they'd already bought into this damn thing for so long. But apparently, the Transformers came and saved the day at a Springsteen concert.
Did they?
And Transformers number 14.
They were not born in the USA. Just for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was in fact Brick Springhorn.
No, that's fantastic. Brick Springhorn is the best porn name I've ever heard.
Brick Springhorn.
Brick Springhorn.
Yeah, apparently, Brick Springhorn also has a sax player who's pretty hip. And I guess the gang came in to the Decepticons. We're gonna come and try to. Apparently, he was playing
Brick
a show
Springhorn.
In cricket because he doesn't have those New Jersey roots.
God, I love Coke in comics. I love it so much.
Yeah, that is from a very coked out period in comics. Richie Rich over at Harvey Comics, apparently to launch his new book,
Nicki Minaj,
New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
Really? No.
Where he met them. That was one of the things comic characters do a lot of, is meeting. Like,
remember when Archie met the Punisher?
That was great. That was great.
And the thing about it is, that came out a couple of years after my friend Steve and I used to write back and forth incessantly when I was in college. And he was in his senior year, and then we were both in college. We would, like, pre-internet, we were writing proper analog letters. And one time I was writing, like, these...
A damn Nicholas Sparks movie.
But I was writing these... I come up with this idea of, like, parodying some of the, like, Marvel Age, I think it was, where they would tell you what was coming out next, you know, the next month, and have little brief write-ups to get your pique your interest. So I was coming up with, like, all these fake write-ups for different comics that were coming up. And one of them was basically... in retrospect, rather poor choice there. It was some sort of murderous rampage in the halls of the high school, and Archie's the Archie gang were embroiled in, and titled Riverdale Hell.
Nice.
And then later Archie meets the Punisher. I'm like, wow, they are tapping my phones and reading my mail. And apparently, in a very metal move, I didn't realize this, now I have to find the damn thing, Dark Horse published a one-shot of Death Clock versus the Goon.
Nice.
Oh, God. Death Clock.
That is so metal.
Death Clock's so great.
This is what you call a comic crossover.
And we would be remiss.
Yes.
If we didn't discuss... what I feel is I still don't know how to feel about Gerard Way's The Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, that was Gerard Way always wore his comic influences on his sleeve, you know, talking about, was really influenced by Preacher, and I was influenced by blah, 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 you know, like with My Chemical Romance and their look and everything.
Well, then they did. What was the David Bowie comic book influenced ripoff album that they did?
I'm not too familiar. Was it the Black Parade or something?
No, it was the one after that. And I regret to admit that there are songs on that album that I really like.
They have some good songs. I'm not a fan of theirs, but I've heard some of their stuff, and I go, that's pretty good. You know, like it's kind of. It's not my thing, but I'm like, you know, talented, you know.
It was the Danger Days album, the True Lies of the Fabulous Killjoys, where it was a weird David Bowie where they invented a band, but the band was in the future and they were being hunted, and all the videos were very sci-fi comic book influenced things. But yes, Gerard Way, the lead singer of My Chemical Romance, made a widely accepted comic called The Umbrella Academy that actually was very much lauded as very good. So there you go.
Okay.
Also, I think we mentioned briefly Kiss at the top of the show. Kiss has a unique pedigree in comics.
Mm-hmm.
In that they have been crossed over into Marvel Comics, had, you know, specials done for them, you know, of them, but have also had comics based on the band published by, was it Platinum Studios, comics. By.
Was that the Psycho Circus stuff? Or
That was actually from
Image. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
IDW for years and years. There were all of these different Kiss incarnations that happened over the years. There was a Marvel Super Special. Naturally, they were featured in Rock and Roll Comics as one of the featured bands. But you know, to have had that big a footprint on the comic industry to the point of, you know, where every potential variation of the band, including Kiss Girls, Scooby-Doo also, I think it was an animated film of Scooby-Doo in a semi-related way. And I also stumbled upon an image of Kiss and this phlebotomist there taking their blood, presumably for the... Yes, for the 1977 comic. Someone has collected photos of this of them actually
with their blood.
Their leather sleeves rolled up. And
right.
Having blood drawn for the publication of that comic. So that is myth debunked. Also, speaking of music and comics, a couple of things we completely forgot from the Archieverse.
Okay.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, whoa.
Why did I bring Archie's without mentioning that?
Yeah, I was like, where did that not happen? Because apparently in Archie number 608, we saw the first Archie Comics interracial kiss between...
right.
Archie and the band member. Also, when we were starting the show, I had a little flashback of an old... Teen Titans, the original Teen Titans comic, where there was some flack going on with Joker's daughter and Mal Jones and all this other stuff to kind of give you the period. And within the context of that comic was the discotheque that Mal Jones owned that became their sort of ad hoc headquarters as well.
Yeah.
So he sort of press ganged the team into helping him build his disco by day, or let him use it as a headquarters by day, and it was a discotheque at night. And apparently, when not clobbering bad guys, both Mal Jones on horns and Roy Harper, aka Speedy, on drums, fronted Great Frog, a band that played there at Gabriel's Horn. The discotheque in scenic Farmingdale, Long Island.
And let us not forget, and I almost forgot, the ill-fated, and how we let this go by us without commenting on it, imprint that was Marvel Music Comics.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
How did we let that go? Now we've got to talk about Marvel Music Comics. Because Marvel Music Comics, kind of the precursor to...
The generation reading those comics, they either tried to put them on their turntable or cram them into their CD player.
Well, there were comics about Bob Marley called Tales of the Tough Gong. Alice Cooper had The Last Temptation...
Yeah, Alice has had many comics over the years.
Yes.
Oh, in fact, mentioning Alice Cooper, the 50th issue of Marvel Premiere was given over quite proudly, as the cover said, Alice's first comic book appearance. Alice Cooper was the feature of Marvel Premiere number 50. And they did it EC horror style.
Yeah, it's got the... It had, like, featuring the Doctor.
Yes, and Nurse Rosetta.
And it was a reference
Alice being
to...
being drug off into some hideous asylum behind him.
Yeah, he had that album From the Inside.
Oh, okay, so it was actually titled Tales from the Inside. Interesting.
Yeah, because Alice went in for alcohol rehab, and that album was about the people he met and the sort of being in this... being locked up for a bit. So that's what that must have been during
IDW
album cycle.
Published, and going back to Kiss really quickly, in a licensing crossover, IDW published Mars Attacks Kiss.
Oh.
Which was probably the worst idea Mars had in their entire Earth conquest campaign. You think you don't tug on Superman's cape, but the one thing you don't do is attack Kiss.
But no. The reason that I
brought
up...
Especially because Paul Stanley will smear you in the press.
That's
know?
True. That's true. The reason I brought up Marvel music was for one reason.
Uh-oh.
And that one reason is Billy Ray Cyrus, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
Does anyone remember the Billy Ray Cyrus comic book?
No.
I have actually, oddly enough, not too long ago, while looking for something else entirely,
holy crap,
I stumbled on that very thing.
Oh my god.
So the
villain looks like Karnov.
So the Billy Ray Cyrus comic book was a comic book that was supposedly based on the life of Billy Ray Cyrus, but turned into
a lot about Miley.
But somehow changed into a Buckaroo Banzai-esque time travel MacGyver gets stuck in the past story where he ends up having to fight with swords and get knighted. I don't know what happened there, but okay. Like, it's just bad. But you know what, though? The complete Alice Cooper, the three acts of the Temptation, the Last Temptation, the Alice Cooper book.
I don't know, though. Going back really quick to Billy Ray Cyrus, I think a lot of that is true, because I did see a great documentary on him on CMT.
Oh, okay. Okay. Tim
and
Allen
they
was...
Cover, they did cover some of that.
Tim Allen was narrating. But the now I'm interested, the Alice Cooper comic written by Neil Gaiman.
Oh yeah. Wow. In fact, that's considered to be one of the better music comic things out there.
It would have to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody has said,
just by default.
I think Metal Sucks did an article about rating, they did a rating metal comic books, because Metallica put out this comic, which looks really bad. But they did Ozzy's comic. I don't know if they did Megadeth's or not, but they said that there's one you can get for 5 cents on Amazon, but they said get Alice Cooper's The Last Temptation. They said it was really good.
Awesome. All right, I think it's a good place to wrap this up.
Well, hold on, though. Ooh. I do want to say real quick, because you guys talked about pairing music with comics.
Right.
One thing that's kind of a little gem that's out there is the Witchblade, the songs for Witchblade.
Oh.
I've never read Witchblade, but if you are a fan of Typo Negative,
which I am,
you need to check out Songs of the Witchblade.
Okay.
Because Peter Steele appears on several songs on it.
Really?
Yep. There's a song called Go to Sleep that features Peter Steele and, I'm going to blank on the name, Mark Piovanetti, who is the guitarist for Carnivore, Peter Steele's thrash band.
Right.
He's the guitarist on the album Retaliation. And so it's a little mini Carnivore reunion of sorts, but it's Peter Steele duetting with this girl, Kat Bieland. And I think and Buzz Osborne appears on a track, as does, they have a Megadeth song on there. But, It's a CD that has original music, like this Go to Sleep song. It has new songs, but it also has some stuff like Megadeth, Witchy Woman, by the Eagles, you know, stuff like that.
And just because we didn't get a chance to talk about it tonight, I'm going to go ahead at the beginning of this episode, this issue of Hey Kids Comics, and cut in, if I can find it, the intro to the TV show Nightman, based on Malibu Comics Nightman of the San Francisco saxophone player who is struck by lightning and then lives in dreams. Best idea ever.
Yes, in fact, I was going to say that was one of two things I was not going to let you get out of here without mentioning. The other, it appears that as part of their ongoing collection of different themed variant covers.
Oh, yes.
There was a series at DC of some of your favorite icons of music as the various heroes. I believe like Adam Ant as
those were good. Yeah.
Was this the one with Morrissey as the Hulk?
Yes. Yes.
That was my Facebook profile picture for a bit.
Oh, was that? Did Marvel do likewise then?
Well, Marvel did some kind of print.
Well, you know what? This I think might have been a fan thing.
But Marvel ended up commissioning some of that work.
Oh,
and
really?
It never made it to comic, but they did have that work because it became extremely popular, and Marvel will either litigate or buy.
Yeah.
It was too creative not to.
It was really good. Like, there was a Sushi and the Banshees one. There was
brilliant.
There was one of John Lydon as Wolverine. That was hilarious.
Yeah, I got, like, the Devo Flash.
Those books, those covers were really awesome. And then leave it to Marvel to drop the ball, by the way. Because what Marvel did, or is doing, I should say. Hunter, have you heard about the hip-hop covers for the Marvel books?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so Marvel decided that they're going to do hip-hop variant, classic hip-hop covers to their books. What does Marvel not have a lot of? Go with your gut. If you're good at people of color, yes, exactly.
I was like, "Is that where he's going with this?"
Yeah. So they got into a heap of help and a trouble because they're doing all these, you know, classic hip hop covers like Public Enemy covers and Tribe Called Quest covers, and it's all like, like Wolverine, like or Captain America. Like, no, guys, come on, really? You're gonna open yourself up to that? Like, you're dumb.
Yeah,
I don't know. Dumb. There's been a lot
you
of.
You think they would have learned from the Milo Manara thing, but no.
No.
Marvel's been trying really hard to be like the sort of, just from my watching from a distance, has been just sort of like it seems like they're going out of their way to be. Just try to say, hey, guys, we're really progressive.
They are. Like, they are so doing that in the hardest way possible.
Like, and it's just like I keep hearing about like them courting these, directors for Black Panther and stuff, trying to make it do it in the most, sensitive way possible.
Right.
But then they these directors who they get interested end up not wanting to work on it. So.
Right, it's just stop. Like, and in the meantime, to DC's credit, DC's over here actually doing that, like actually incorporating all races, faiths, sexual orientation, everybody into their books quietly.
Marvel makes a big. They make
organically.
They make a big thing out of it. I don't know. It's like,
yeah, they really want to beat the drum. Hey, guess what we're doing over here, guys? Gay superhero.
Hey, yes, okay. like DC did that a little bit with the Green Lantern becoming gay, but I think
that was one of those things where it got picked up as clickbait.
You're probably right. But
Marvel would be like engineering the clickbait.
Whereas Marvel, when they turned Thor into a woman, they were like, this isn't Mrs. Thor. This isn't Thorina. This is Thor.
Right, like, yeah. All right.
I was like, okay, SJW.
Right, like, stop it. Just everybody stop
this
it.
Did they hire somebody to write for Salon to write this press release?
Yeah. Oh, God. All right, let's wrap it up. Right, Hunter.
I should just say farewell with the song stylings of, say, like, the Fiddler from The Flash. Or
Right. It's another good one. The Pied Piper, right. Hunter, do you got anything you want to plug?
MidnightMovieCowboys.com. We still put out episodes regularly. We're about to do an episode on Nosferatu.
Oh,
wow!
The original and the Herzog one. Normally, we go with we try to do podcasts about stuff there aren't a lot of podcasts about. But I really want to do a Nosferatu show, and I don't think the Herzog movie really gets discussed a lot. But I've been sort of enamored with Murnau lately. But
you're the only man I know that could say that, and I believe it. Like,
yeah, you're not just pandering. You're like trying to pick up chicks or something.
Yeah, like, and now here's Oasis, Wonderwall. Like, that's not what where we are here.
It's a bar at the Texas Theater trying to pick up a chick. You're sincere.
I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen him do that. It's uncomfortable. It's not.
Oh whatever.
It's not comfortable to watch that happen with Hunter trying to pick up the bartender at the Texas Theater.
Oh yes, they do have some pretty good looking ladies there, though.
Yeah, you've made that point very clear.
Okay, anyway. So, but MidnightMovieCowboys.com, you can find us on Facebook. We're putting out shows regularly. Good times.
Okay, sweet. Right. Cole, what about us?
We are, of course, coming to you through the song stylings of the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. And that's our little jingle for tonight.
Is that our jingle? All right.
You're reminding me of Adrian Barbeau in The Fog right now.
My God. Wow. Yeah, he's reminding me of that, too. I got some medium wood right now.
Yeah.
I was actually, right. Because for Andy, every episode, we may as well just let the cat out of the bag. I wear my Adrian Barbeau wig every time.
Do you? That explains why I've got old dead pirate driftwood right now.
Wow. And that's the last time I'm wearing that wig. Okay.
That's the name of my next band, by the way.
So we have the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us, and please write to us with your mixtape for your favorite story arcs and comic trade paperbacks and stuff. Also, in answer to your question about David Bowie, Miracle Man.
Oh, God! Now I got full wood. Now I got like oak. I got the world tree in my pants.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Let that sink in.
Not gonna.
Oh, please.
Not tonight.
Again.
I've got a headache. But they, God, what are we doing here? Write to jcumail@yahoo.com and tell us about your mixtape or what album you would listen to with your favorite trade paperbacks and such, and we tweet occasionally on the Twitter at the Jedi Cole U. And now that I have a smartphone, as soon as I get the damn thing up and running, I will actually be doing a lot more video selfies.
Proud of you.
And other modern unfrozen caveman stuff. We have a YouTube channel that's what Jedi Cole Universe.
Something like that, yeah.
Just look that damn thing up. And, of course, you can find me. You can find an archive of the live version of this show, as well as live and archived renditions of the Rancor Pit.
Both of which feature Hunter Dusing, by the way.
That's true. Yes. Both incarnations do. So if you want to see what he looks like when he's picking up chicks at the bar at the Texas Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar.
I like this joke. I like the fact that we're going to run this into the ground now.
That's right. Damn straight. Wouldn't be Hey Kids Comics without beating a dead horse.
That's right.
But, you can check all of that and so much more out over at the live side of my life at deepelemonair.com. We were very blessed to be a part of that Jedi Jansen's amazing brainchild and his baby.
That's right.
In that playground. Eddie and I, our show will now be officially the first and third Sundays of every month.
Woo!
We previously called it every other. Zach Schroeder of Jedi Goddess Presents will be launching a brand new show to take on the second and fourth Sundays of the month. So one Sunday a month every once in a while when there are five, we'll have Dick. So... But we are officially going to, if there's a situation where there would be three Sundays in a month, Eddie and I are going to give ourselves a weekend off.
There you go. All right. Well, guys, thank you for joining us for a musical episode. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I think it went well. I got some ideas for myself. I hope you guys got some ideas, too.
Sure.
So speaking for Hunter and Cole, we would
Nightman.
And Nightman. Implore you to break out get on Spotify, go find The Boxer, and read DC's New Frontier.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm so good. All right, say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you again, Hunter. It was awesome having you here.
Thank you for having me. I've been wanting to do this show for a while.
That was the most Moth-a-Hoople ending to the show that's ever existed.
Listen, can you hear it? The wind, the cars, the oceans, and the screaming and the hum of everything. The city is a symphony, and I am...